All right. Hi, everybody. Brian Johnson here with E3 Firearms Association, and we got a great interview today, especially for all the moms and the women out there. This is going to be, I think you're going to really enjoy this, and I know that I'm even enjoying it just from talking to Christy that we have on the phone, Christy Pancho, and she has a great perspective on firearms as a mom and as a woman, and especially because of her background and her career and her history, which is just stellar. And I'm just so excited that she's on today and is going to be able to share her views and just her perception of, you know, how this world is when it comes to being a mom. And the real reason I really like it is because she has the background. She has the creds that she can talk from a position of strength on a lot of the questions we're going to go through today. And we have a lot of questions that get sent in to us that we're going to throw at Christy, and then we have some of our own that I think are going to be some fun questions, but really excited about it. Now, Christy, just so everybody knows, Christy is, you know, she's military, retired, she's a special agent, she's an instructor. I mean, she has a ton of experience when it comes to firearms in that world, but just being able to bring a point of view from having all that experience and all that training to being one of the most important things is a mom, and also from a woman's perspective. So just really excited to get into some of these questions for all the moms and all the women out there. So Christy, thank you for being here. Really appreciate your time, and looking forward to this interview.
Thanks, Brian. I'm excited.
Great. So let's go ahead and dig right in, and I want to talk a little bit just more. I want to give everybody a little bit of perspective of, you know, how did you get involved with shooting? Like, what age were you? Who are you with? I mean, what's kind of the story on when you started to get introduced to firearms?
Well, my first memory of ever shooting a gun was when I was with my dad. We were at my uncle's property in Kentucky, and it was just like over 100 acres, and, you know, we were shooting the soda cans. And I think I was just too young to really respect and what I was doing. And then that was pretty much it throughout my childhood. I mean, I knew there were firearms in the house, but my dad never showed us where they were. We never touched them. And then not until I joined the military when I was about 20 years old did I really get a solid introduction to firearms and safe handling and good training. And boy, I mean, it changed my life forever. I mean, I went into the Air Force, and I, again, at 20 years old, and obviously basic training, you get some introduction, but my career field was security forces, now security police. So, you know, I shot handguns, Berettas, rifles, you know, grenade launchers, throwing grenades, machine guns. I was like, oh my God, you know, it was very, very intimidating, but empowering and fun. And I learned how to handle guns safely and confidently. And obviously with my job, you know, I knew all of the rules of engagement and things like that, and how using firearms and in your job capacity. So it was very quite a big introduction when I did start shooting in the military, because it was like everything all at once. So it was a little overwhelming, but from here on out, I mean, it's just been part of my life and probably will forever be part of my life.
Right. So you got fed with a fire hose. I mean, so when you went from, you know, shooting with your dad and things, and then into the military and got that experience, like, real quick, like, what was the big takeaway? What was, like, the big aha when you went from being at home shooting to the you know, handling in the military? What was that big takeaway you got?
I learned to respect guns a lot more, and people that carry them, and how powerful they can be. And how important it was to be properly trained, not only to know what you're doing, but to have the confidence, especially as being a police officer, as I was in the military. Had I ever defend myself or someone else's life, like, I had to be very proficient with my firearm. I had to know that I was going to be able to hit my intended target and stop the threat, and, you know, and how to safely carry it every day. I mean, because when you in the military, I mean, we work 12-hour shifts, you're constantly working, you constantly have your gun on you, and you're slinging a rifle, and you're in the desert, and you're hot. Like, you can get lax really quickly. Some people forget things, or you just don't take care of your gun, especially when you're being in deployed environments. They get sandy, you have to take care of them. So it's having a whole respect for the firearm and learning to take care of it. And then also the powerful of carrying a gun, how powerful that can be and how serious it is, and a big decision, and you have to respect that.
So you go from it being an object, just an object, to something that's just you really have to cherish, and it's like your way of life. So it's a totally different mindset for sure. I appreciate it. So tell me, you know, you talked about in the military and an agent. I mean, you're a retired federal agent and retired military. I mean, how does that connect? What does that look like?
Right. So, like I said, I joined the Air Force when I was 20, and I went on active duty, and my job was security police, so basically doing, like, basic, you know, base security installation. And then I completely separated from the Air Force for about a year. And then I went back into the Air Force Reserves as a special agent, and that's under with the Air Force Office of Special Investigations. So I was in the military, but we wore civilian clothes, and we did all major crime investigations, counterintelligence, protective service operations, and other special missions within the Air Force. So being a special agent, obviously we carried a firearm as well. So I did that for the latter part of my 17 years in my career. I went on and off active duty certain points, spent a lot of time down at Andrews Air Force Base in Maryland doing a lot of protective service operations, working with some really great other federal agencies. I retired this past May. I'm very excited, just over 20 years, finally decided to hang up the hat and retire because, you know, things have shifted in my life and priorities have kind of changed with my little boys. So just spending a lot more time with them, but still staying very heavily involved in the firearms training world. And it's a part of my life every day. Obviously, I'm not in doing hot and heavy investigations anymore, but, you know, still carrying a firearm every day.
After you started carrying a firearm, I want to get your perspective on, you know, when friends and family heard you carry a gun or that. And it's funny because I watch, you know, when somebody knows whatever way they find out they hear or know that, like, I carry a firearm, it's like, oh, that's cool, that's good. But then when they hear that my girls, the women in the family, carry firearms, they have such a different reaction. They're like, really? Your girls carry them? I'm like, hell yeah, because I'd rather have them around me because they're a 10 times better shot than me. But it just seems like this different response to when my girls are carrying a firearm. I mean, how do you, what do people say to you when they found out? And more importantly, like, how do you respond to people that talk to you about that or ask you?
Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, it is very shocking. It's very unexpected when I do tell people that I do carry. I don't typically tell a lot of people unless I have to, but my close friends know. They were all very shocked because, I mean, it's all about the unexpectedness. And I think that's why women are more vulnerable targets than men, because people think you're not going to be able to protect yourself with a firearm or any other means. They just think you're more of a vulnerable target. So when you do have something to physically defend yourself, they're like, oh, wow. You know, they're very shocked. But, you know, my friends coming out, you know, and once they learned the career field I went into, I guess it became more expected that I'd have one on me. But I definitely encourage them, and I talk about it. I don't keep it a secret, but I don't tell, like, just anybody. It's my close friends that I'm with, and they think it's great. Some people just choose not to, and I don't, like, X, I can't talk to you now or something like that. You know, I just encourage them, when you're comfortable, when the time is right, maybe you should consider this as an option for self-defense in your home or on your person. So I definitely try to empower other women when they do, you know, ask me about it. I just don't flush it. You know, I just don't dismiss it or say, oh, it's just my gun. I try to engage in a conversation and tell them why I carry my gun and why it's important to me and my life and my lifestyle, and just try to, you know, help build their confidence and maybe, hey, maybe you should consider this. If not, okay. But know that we have my gun here. If something happens, just hide behind me, you know, kind of thing. Like, so I think everyone is different, like, but most people, for I would say the majority, think it's very surprised. They're very surprised, just because, you know, it's just like you said, it shocks the hell out of them. If your daughters are carrying a gun, they're like, oh my God, like, they would never expect that. But
yep,
yeah,
definitely. It's funny. I'd rather have my girls around me with a gun than a lot of people I know that are carrying guns.
right.
And, you know, it's the training and things. You know, you said something really important, and I want to ask you just from a, you know, you said the word empowering. And, you know, a woman may be intimidated to go to a range alone or get a buddy. I mean, and having it feel like an empowering situation. I mean, what kind of advice can you give to not even just women that are just new getting into handguns, but there's also this things that they do together as women, and it's like a, like I talk about myself and my wife, we do date night at the range, and we have dinner and go to the range, and we make, you know, a relationship part about it. But what could you give, you know, advice to women out there that might not feel like it's an empowering situation to go to the range alone, or, you know, how do they get a buddy, or any thoughts on how to do that effectively?
Yeah, I would definitely, if you're feeling like you don't have the confidence, or you just don't do want to do it alone, definitely grab a buddy. I mean, the best classes I love teaching when I would teach the women's only classes at the Street Academy a few years ago is that the mother-daughter groups that would come in, I absolutely loved it because you just could see them, like, just they're bonding, they're encouraging each other, they're both learning together. It was like this great family event where there would be best friends, we'd either be husbands and wives. I mean, I had, like, you know, 80-year-old grandmothers in there that were just there, you know, their whole life they've never touched their gun, and they're like, it's time. I mean, it's never too late to learn something new, and I always encourage somebody, you know, just, you know, if you don't know it, you try. So if you have this fear of guns and you want to kind of overcome that, because there's no reason to be afraid of the gun, you control the gun. So take that next step and have someone hold your hand if you need to, if you're not comfortable going by yourself, because, you know, we build upon each other's strength, and there's no better person to do that with than your best friend, your mom, your significant other, your husband, you know, whatever the case may be. But yeah, we're strength in numbers. So definitely grab a buddy and go and just do it.
Right. So you talked about, because you're an instructor, you do your women's only classes like you just talked about. So what is there a big difference in firearm handling and training for women versus men, or how do you approach that? Is it different or is it not the same?
No, I mean, obviously there are women instructors that are teaching the courses, and they're women-only environments. So I think women are more comfortable in women-only environments, obviously, that are seeking out that specific training, because you're eliminating, and I hate to say this, the egos and the pride in the room sometimes that men have, and some women may feel intimidated or not comfortable around men. Maybe there has been a victim of an attack or domestic violence, and they don't, you know, being around guns and men may just, you know, that anxiety is probably going through the roof if they've been, you know, in some type of traumatic event in their past. So that may eliminate that whole factor. So just having women, they would be more comfortable in that environment. But the teaching fundamentals are exactly the same. I mean, they're, you know, basic shooting fundamentals. It's the same. We're going to teach the same to a man or to a woman, but eliminating your atmosphere and controlling that environment, I think, is what women are more comfortable with, just from my personal experience in teaching women, and they love it, and it's fun, and, you know, we joke a little more, laugh a little more, you know, it's just, you know, more comfortable environment for women overall.
You know, that's just human nature, and I mean, it's even like, I think people confuse the fact that it's going to the range with guns versus anything else. I mean, we would feel the same way if we're going to a gym that's all guys and you're a woman, or I would feel the same way if I'm just a guy going to an all-women yoga class. It's just human nature, but for some reason, people take it to the next level when it happens to do firearms, but it really isn't. That's just how we are, and then once we get over that little hump, then it's great, and we love it. My girls love going to the range, and all it was just once or twice just getting over that hump that made a big difference for them, so I can appreciate that.
I remember my first time on a range, you know, official range in the military, I was frightened. I mean, being security police, there's like, you know, I think there were 5 girls in my training class and about 70 guys, you know, I mean, we represented a very small group. But yeah, you're like, oh my God, I'm not going to shoot as great as the guy next to me. You're very, very intimidated. And it was all male instructors. There was never any female instructors that I had. And, you know, they're close to you. They're, you know, maybe sitting behind you or just in your grip. So, you know, you have to be very comfortable with being in that close proximity of people working with something so powerful as a weapon, you know, learning how to do that. So it's very, can be very, very intimidating. I mean, I do remember my first times on a range, and if you're not used to that, I mean, definitely, I could see where someone would just want to have a women's only, and that's completely acceptable. And I'm so glad that the industry is opening up more to that and having more classes available for women only.
Yeah, definitely. That's growing like crazy. I know that we're doing some stuff specifically for women at E3, so excited about that. I definitely appreciate what you're saying. So what, when you go to the range, like you're going to your first visit to the range, or do you do anything special, or what do you bring? What do you wear?
Well, you know, it's funny, but again, first time you learn and then you just grow from your experience. You know, I remember obviously in the military we had uniforms, but the first time I would go to a range just practicing, you know, I wore like a V-neck shirt, and you learn after that first casing goes down your shirt, you never wear a V-neck shirt ever again because, you know, hot brass, you know, on your breast is not a fun time. So you definitely want to wear, you know, clothing up to your neck. You want to make sure you're comfortable, you know, good footing for shoes, obviously, no open shoes. Pants, make sure you wear, if you're having a holster you want to wear, make sure you wear pants with belt loops, a good solid belt. And then make sure your hair is comfortable. You want to put your hearing protection. You can't wear dangly ears. I mean, you'd be surprised what some students would show up wearing. I'm like, oh, you got to go change it. You're just going to be uncomfortable or, you know, you just, but yeah, you have to think about it. And definitely you want to be comfortable because the thing you want to be doing is like adjusting yourself or just, you know, have bullet casings flying down your shirt. It's just going to be distracting. So yeah, definitely. Great question. Like, yeah, it's definitely something people don't think about and just show up. And then they're like, after the fact, you know, oh, that could have made my experience so much better if I was prepared.
It goes for guys, too. I can tell you, I've had that happen a couple of first times I did. It was, didn't realize those little things that burn.
Oh, yeah.
They do. They stick to you.
Yes, they do. Yeah. If you're laying down prone in a rifle caliber, that hurts when the casing comes back and that hurts. Yep.
Yeah. We were just shooting with your husband, Adam, and, you know, we were shooting AR-15s and we lined up side by side. And, you know, I had five or six AR-15, you know, burn marks on the left hand side of my cheek because they hit. And they stick, and they hurt.
Yeah,
but,
right.
Yeah,
and you can't move.
You don't think about it. Yeah.
Right.
So talk about, like, holsters a little bit. What, what do you carry? How do you carry? I know there's a lot of, and especially nowadays, because the amount of women that are carrying and concealed now is just rising like crazy. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of percent increase, which is so encouraging. And there was a lacking, though, of great ways for women to conceal, because obviously you know, they're shaped differently. So what are some of the things you can give, you know, what kind of advice can you give to some of the women on how to carry what's out there now?
Right. I carry a Galco pocket holster and I carry a SIG 238. So I keep that in my purse or on my body in a pocket or inside my waist. I tuck it inside my waistband. That's a great option for me. It fits my lifestyle, fits my needs. I'll preface in saying, you know, fit, obviously, whatever gun you have, make sure you have it in a holster. That's the most important. And then however you choose to carry out your day, if you're going to carry on your person, in your purse, or just, you know, that you need to make the decision first before you start just buying a bunch of stuff. Like, commit to how you're going to carry, because you don't want to be spending a lot of different money on different things you're never going to use, and make sure it's comfortable. I definitely recommend for women the inside the waistband holsters or the pocket holsters. I've carried belly bands when I go on walks or runs or something different. I want to have the gun on me all the time. That's great too. I know there, Anna Taylor, she does a corset. I've never used that personally, but I know a lot of other female instructors where I used to work, they do, and they really, really liked it. And I think your daughters carry those, so they love those, and it's a great product. There's also different options. I've used, just with being an agent, I've had to conceal in different ways. I've worn thigh rigs, I've worn ankle holsters. I mean, all depending on what you're doing. There's a lot of stuff out there on the market. Just whatever you're doing, my only thing is make sure you're practice drawing with it. And you can just dry fire from your home and practice from your home. I mean, unloaded gun. Just make sure you're practicing drawing your weapon from concealment, because easy to conceal doesn't mean it's easy to draw from. And I think some of the courses my husband will be doing, Adam, is, you know, concealed carry and how to carry and draw from those. So there's a lot of stuff on the market. Women specific, yes, there is. That industry is like up and coming, and it's great to see that, you know, and it's, you know, things are prettier. Women, we like pretty things. You know, I have pink grips on my gun, you know. It's just, you know, we like just things a little bit different than men, and our bodies obviously are shaped a lot different, so it's great to see some great products out there.
Yeah, and two things you said that I think really critical we should talk about a little bit, because even I've seen how people carry guns that aren't even new. that maybe they've been carrying for 5 or 6 years, and I've seen some things that I'm just like, oh boy, that's dangerous. And one you said is just please at least make sure it's in a holster. Now, I say that because I've seen women carry guns in their purses with no holster, and that is so dangerous, and it's even 10 times mm-hmm. more dangerous depending on the gun that you have. And here's an example. You know, I'm a pilot, so I am a safety freak. So even when, you know, we have guns around the house here, so if I'm walking around the house, I'll pick up maybe my daughter's gun or my wife's or whatever, and I just always check them. I just check them. Is the safety on? Is it in the holster right? And, you know, there's been a time where I picked it up. It's in the holster, but the safety's off. Now, they happen to carry guns of safety. That's what they want. And I'm like, boy, you see that? Now, somehow it got unsafety, maybe because it hit something in the purse. But can you imagine if it got unsafety and it's not in a holster and it's in the purse, the same movement or thing that made it unsafe from a safety standpoint could also pull the trigger and cause a major issue, of course.
Right.
You know, that in itself, I don't think enough people, you know, some people say, but I have a safety on the gun, so I don't have to keep it in a holster in my purse. And it's like, absolutely not. You got to keep that cover triggered. I mean, that's like a key thing. And I see that a lot, unfortunately. I mean, any thoughts on that?
No, I mean, I'm right there. I mean, echo everything you said, like, definitely keep it in a holster. I mean, I've been guilty of that. Like, it does happen. I mean, if you're moving your, especially in purses, you know, and even if it's on your body, if you're moving it around or if you're just, you know, whatever, you the safety can become disengaged. So you have to make sure you're always aware how you're going to carry it. And you have to just make sure you're always checking it. And you can get lax. I mean, if you're carrying a gun every single day and you're not checking it and you just leave it in place, I mean, you have to make sure you're checking it. It's just like something you do every day. You know, you just have to make sure you're constantly aware of it.
You know, I know a lot of women I talk to think that the only way they can practice is go to the range. And then they don't have time. They don't go enough. But, you know, when it comes to what you just said, I mean, we have the little orange practice bullets here in the house. And to draw from a holster, especially for women, like you said, it's totally different. I mean, we go to train. We have outside the waistband holsters, and we train to be proficient on our shot and things like that and picking up the sights. But it's totally different when it's in your purse or, you know, you're trying to get out of appendix carry. So, you know, I highly encourage people go get those little orange rounds and, you know, rack, re-rack, you know, pull from the holster. I mean, you can do so much practice in the house, especially nowadays. There's so many training aids and so many different little tools that you can practice more. And I don't see enough people practicing that what you just said, which is critical. Like, how are you going to get out of your holster? Now, you have it, let's say it's on your 4 o'clock or it's on your appendix, and you get pushed down to the ground and you're on your stomach now. How are you going to get that out? How can you can practice that stuff at home, and it's hard to do that at a range, especially really formal indoor ranges here in Florida. That's, you know, there is no drawing from the holster. There, you know, it's a very stringent kind of environment, so you really can't practice that. So what other tips can you give, or how should women practice at home? I mean, are there positions they should try to get in and see how they're going to get out of it, or what are other, you know, options they have for practicing like that?
I mean, you said you can't practice on ranges, so like, where do you do it unless you're like in an in-person formal course? But you know, if you're just a regular gun range, you can't. And that's so important because that's what's going to build your confidence. You know, if you're walking out of the grocery store and somebody tries to take you and or abduct you or, you know, or hurt you, like, you, what are you going to do? And if you've never practiced with taking your gun out of inside your, you know, your pants, if you have it inside your waistband, or if you have it in your purse, like, you're gonna hopefully not freeze, but you know, it's going to take you some time. So practice that at home and safely, you know, do it somewhere you're not, you know, keeping all your firearm safety rules in check. Practice it. I mean, practice putting that purse over your shoulder, you know, walk up to your door at night by yourself and, you know, pretend someone jumped out of the bushes. I mean, it sounds silly, but the more you practice something, I think the more it builds your confidence and maybe will eliminate that fear and shock that you'll experience when you, God forbid, you are ever encountered with something like that. But definitely, I mean, do something like that from your purse, but practice however you're carrying it, you're inside your waistband, in your house, watch yourself in the mirror, use the verbal commands, because when something happens, I mean, you're going to be throwing words, cussing, you know what I mean? That's going to happen, and you don't get to practice that when you're on a, you know, in a, just a standard gun range. I mean, in a formal class, hopefully your instructor is encouraging to use his verbal words, you're scanned, you're doing everything that you should be doing if you're ever encountered in a deadly situation, but yeah, I mean, definitely practicing in your home whenever you can. I mean, you can. The more you practice, the more confident you'll be if you ever have to do that in real life.
Yep, Yeah. Now, here's a question that came in from one of our members, and the question is basically saying, so, okay, I just got my concealed carry license, you know, what's next? How often to practice, and, you know, like, now what? What now? So what's some advice for somebody new that just, and this is a person here in Florida that just got their license, and they're like, now what's this? Well, how often should I practice?
Assuming you have a gun, my first thing, you know, thing would be, you know, obviously you got concealed carry, you're choosing to carry a gun concealed. So if you purchase a gun that fits for you, that's right for you, and then practice. I mean, I would encourage someone that's new to practice at least once a week. You can just do drag fires when you have time, but I would at least hit the range. I mean, as much as you can, every couple weeks, every week if you can. I mean, it all depends on your schedule and, you know, your means. Some things are very expensive to go to a range, but dry firing is something you can do at home for free. I mean, you don't have to buy bullets, you don't have to pay for range time. So that is something that, you know, you control, and it's not really just like riding a bike. You just can't get back on. I mean, shooting is a skill and a you know, there are fundamentals to shooting, and it's not as easy as it looks, especially when I mean, you know, anyone can pick up a gun and play and shoot, but if you pick up a gun and you're intending to shoot an intended target to save your life or someone else, I mean, you can't, you have to be accountable for each round you shoot. So if you're living in an apartment and something happens in the middle of the night, you know, and you don't want your rounds blasting through walls or doors, hitting your neighbors, I mean, you have to be accountable for your rounds. So practicing, make it, when you are practicing, you know, just don't go out there and fluff a bunch of rounds and just, oh, this is fun, bang, 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 you know. Make yourself think, hey, you know, there's certain drills I can do here, you know. Make sure you're being accountable for each round. You're not just going off and just shooting just to be shooting. I mean, it's a skill. I mean, and respect it. And I think your skills and confidence will grow with more you practice.
Yeah, and I think that kind of rolls into the next question that came in from a member, which is, you know, I know how to shoot. I want to carry, but I'm still concerned. What are my next steps to get more comfortable and more confident?
It would be, you know, just constantly educating yourself. I mean, I'm still learning. I mean, I think the second you stop thinking or you think you know everything, is the second you're going to get yourself or someone else hurt. So constantly practicing and learning and reading, knowing all your state and local laws, making sure, you know, you're not going to get yourself in trouble carrying your gun somewhere where you shouldn't be. But, you know, practicing, again, making sure you're constantly honing that skill. If you're choosing to carry concealed every day, just don't have it on you just because, you know, you should, okay, check, cut that, check, you know, check boxes. I mean, it's again, respecting it and training with it is something you kind of have to kind of be responsible citizen. If you're going to carry a firearm, you need to do everything that goes along with it.
Yeah, and you said a key word, you know, educate yourself and get online, or whether it's E3 or any other responsible company that has great vetted content, because, and I say that, and to watch videos, hear from other women, because I think a lot of people think they're the only ones having the thoughts they are right now, or I'm not confident. But you know what? Everybody's had those thoughts. So the more that you actually get into communities like E3 Firearms Association or some other great ones and hear from other people, you can find out you're not the only one that thinks that. You're not the only one that goes through the same emotions. And it makes the journey a little bit easier, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember a time I went with one of my former coworkers in a different career field. They worked for children's services, and she had just gone to the part-time police academy, wanted to do some things, and, you know, and I was already an agent. I was a reserve agent, you know, so I was practicing, and I'm like, hey, let's go to the range, and it was a girl's day. We went to the gun range, and she hadn't shot, you know, only the time she'd shot was when she was in training, and I look over, and she's loading her magazines, and she's putting the bullets in wrong, and it's like, it would have been easy just to laugh at her and be like, what are you doing, you know? But, you know, it was funny inside, but I'm going over, and I'm like, you know, she was so nervous and just intimidated to be in that environment. She hadn't practiced it enough. But I'm like, here, this is someone who is a certified police officer. You know what I mean? And we, you know, we were just laughing about it. And I'm like, okay, you know, but it is. I mean, it sounds stupid, but I mean, something as simple as that. And I saw it all the time. And the class is like, there are certain ways you load magazine bullets go a certain way. And I can't tell you how many students put their gun in or put the bullets in the wrong way in the magazine and load it. I mean, it happens. So things like that, I mean, you know, we can laugh, but hopefully no one get hurt or got hurt. And something like that, if you know someone that's done that. But that's just an example of, you know, get to the range and practice and, you know, make sure you're you know what you're doing, you know, and you're educating yourself on how to properly do something. Just don't guess. And there's no dumb questions. You know, you have to just ask, or like you said, make sure you're trusting a vetted site on the internet, like E3 Firearms, you know, or just something you're looking to, making sure you're following the right people. And it's hard to vet who is the right and wrong. But definitely educating yourself and practicing and getting out there and just going to the range.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny you say. I mean, bottom line is we're all human. So it's just, it doesn't matter. You know, it's funny you said that. I had somebody that's really experienced and is an agent in a different area and was firing his 9mm and had to rack it every time because he said, it's just not cycling. Something's wrong with the gun. Well, what was wrong with the gun is he loaded 380 ammo into a 9mm firearm.
Yeah.
And this is an experienced person. So bottom line is we're all just human, so people shouldn't feel like, I don't want to feel stupid. Well, you know what? We all done stupid stuff. We just have to be safe while we're doing it. So it's
right.
Funny. But so, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, one of the, and this is, you know, in regards to this other tactics to, you know, not needing your gun and things. And I'm a huge proponent of this because, you know, one of the taglines I personally have for my own close people around me is a gun's not always the solution, but it can be the problem. And my point in that is there's so many things you can do up to and before needing to get to a point of using the gun. To me, that's the best solution because you get to that point, you know, that's a problem. So there's other things that can happen. I mean, what are some, and I want to ask you because I heard some interviews with you, you talked about things you do and things that are preventative, and I really appreciate that and want to get people more educated on, you know, the reality is just getting a gun doesn't all of a sudden mean that's your solution to protect yourself because that should be your last resort in protecting yourself. But there's many other things that you can do to be empowered to never get to that point of needing a gun. And I want to get that clear because to me, Christy, I don't like to hear people saying, all right, now I bought a gun, so I'm all set. That's
right.
Like just the beginning.
Exactly. And like I said, I'm echoing, gun is the last resort, and God forbid you ever have to use your gun. But yeah, definitely knowing, I think situational awareness is your first step. Like knowing your surroundings, know where you're going, you know, always be situationally aware of what's around you. That's your first step because you want to try and see something coming if you can. And if your situations, I mean, I remember being in college and I couldn't carry a gun on campus. I was petrified because it wasn't that I felt, okay, I have a gun, everything's fine. It was like, no, I had that. So as a last resort, I could defend my life, but I didn't have that choice. So I carried OC pepper spray for a very long time. I took some self-defense classes, and I think that's key because hand-to-hand, make sure they're vetted companies or Krav Maga. There's a lot of things out there you can go, but taking a self-defense class is definitely a start. And getting some products, there's a lot of stuff out there that you could use just to have, you know, if you don't have access to a firearm. But definitely just giving yourself something, like you said, because guns should be the last resort. In a lot of places, especially, you know, my lifestyle now as a stay-at-home mom, there's a lot of places you go with children that you cannot carry a firearm. I'm in a different situation because I'm a retired law enforcement agent, so a lot of those rules are different for me. So I, you know, not so that I ignore them. It's just that I know that I follow in a different class legally than a normal stay-at-home mom would that doesn't have, you know, retired law enforcement experience. So, or credentials rather. So it definitely, I think, getting basic, I would say, recommend definitely have a self-defense class would be key.
A lot of people underestimate the power of a decent flashlight. That in itself, especially
right.
at night, can be huge because it's not even, you know, that you're going to use it as a weapon. What it's doing is it's sending the signal. So if you're walking in your car, you see people there, just turning that light on as you're getting to your car. It sends a signal to people that, hey, I know you're there. I'm paying attention. And, you know, it just changes the situation a little bit more. You sent that signal versus because for most victims, it's because they weren't paying attention, they weren't aware. I mean, that is almost a component to a crime, is that you're not aware, you're not paying attention kind of thing. But just the flashlight in itself is enough to send that signal. And I'm not saying that should be everybody's only thing. I'm just using that as an example, Christy, that Alondra talked
mm-hmm.
about, because there's more to it. But just that in itself is just part of being proactive and being prepared.
Oh yeah, definitely. Carrying a little, being a little surefire in someone's eyes too will definitely throw them off for a little bit. Maybe you could run, get away from that. But yeah, definitely, flashlights are great, great, great tools.
Great. So I want to switch a little bit into the children and stuff, because I really appreciate kind of your point of view on this. And can you talk a little bit about carrying and shooting during pregnancy? And this came from another member. This is a question, but what's your perspective on carrying, shooting during pregnancy? You know, what's your thoughts?
Right. So both of when I was pregnant with my first child, I was like, oh no, what do I do now? I mean, obviously, I continued to carry my gun on a personal concealed. I carried it all the time. Professionally, with my job, we in the military, we have the Defense Department of Defense. Your authority to arm is revoked during pregnancy. It's just that's how it is. You don't carry. You don't work certain cases. You're not out doing search warrants. You know, you're not doing that when you're pregnant, obviously, as any law enforcement capacity job is. But I did try and do a lot. I did. Look and see how much research there was there, excuse me, on like shooting while pregnant. And there's a lot of stuff out there, you know, but I had trouble determining what was vetted, what was good, what wasn't, and what to take away from it. So in the end, like after everything I had read, talk with my doctors, and everyone's just like, you know, it's just not worth the risk to shooting. So I did not shoot while I was pregnant in either one of my pregnancies. But, you know, again, I read stories of, you know, women that were hunters that were up in tree stands shooting and hunting while they were pregnant. And, you know, I think it becomes down to a personal decision, but it wasn't just something I wanted to jeopardize my children's hearing, you know, and it's just something I personally chose not to do. But, again, there's not a lot of, you know, do this or do that research out there. It's just basically recommendations, and it's hard to do a lot of research on that to see what the damaging effects would be to the fetus until birth. So I don't know. I encourage you to do your own research, but my personal experience and opinion would be not to shoot while you're pregnant. And I still carried my firearm because I wasn't going to jeopardize my safety, because ultimately if someone's trying to take my life, it would jeopardize the life of my baby. So, you know, I was always going to carry regardless.
Okay, so then roll that into, you know, your thoughts about carrying around children.
Again, lifestyle. I mean, Christy's always packing. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, I always have a gun on me. Unless I'm swimming in a bathing suit in the lake or something, I mean, I'm not going to have a gun on me. So it's always going to be on me, near me. I always carry concealed. I mean, my life changed when I, obviously, my kids were born, when they could start walking and being around and mobile and they could have access to firearms. I used to carry different types of guns that didn't have a safety. Like I said, I have since transitioned to the 238, and I like that more because it does have a safety and I don't keep it loaded. God forbid my kids ever did get a hold of it. I know there's two things they have to do for the weapon to fire. So I personally prefer that over carrying. I used to carry a little revolver. I mean, there's revolvers. You need to pull a trigger, it's done. You know what I mean? That's it. So definitely always being mindful of where your gun is and how you're going to carry when your kids are around is something you have to think about all the time. And again, if you're going to pick up children at school, you have to think, you can't take your gun with you. But I always have my gun on me, and I know I'm a little paranoid, not paranoid, but I mean, my wheels are constantly spinning upstairs. I mean, I'm thinking like, I'm in the grocery, am I going to grab my kids first? Am I going to get my gun? You know, every situation would be different that you're in, and it's scary because I have these fears that people are going to harm my children, and I don't know what I would do. I think we all, any parent, would feel that way. It's like, I don't know. I mean, I just always want to be prepared, and it makes me feel confident, empowered, and comfortable that I could protect my kids and myself by carrying a firearm, and I don't want that day to come where someone hurt me or my children, and I just, because I didn't have my gun on me, I couldn't protect them. That would just, I mean, I don't know, I couldn't live with that. So that's personally why Christy chooses to carry a gun all the time, because I think, I don't know, it's just, we live in a different world, a different society these days, and you can never be too prepared.
Yeah, definitely. You just said something that's, you know, I think about a lot, and, you know, I might be in a restaurant, or I might be somewhere and just sitting there relaxing or whatever, and I'll think about, well, if something happened right now, how would I handle it? you know, what would I do in this instance? And I do that a lot. It's, again, it's, you know, being situational aware and train. That's one way I train myself is we're in a restaurant, there's four of my family here or two of my family here. If something happened, what would I do? And, you know, some people might look at that as, oh, well, that's just you're obsessed or that's going overboard. But it's not. If you think about it, it's just visualizing, just like you do if you're a basketball player and you're shooting. The visualization helps you train and helps you be better, more prepared, whether it's that or visualizing your shot as a golfer or whatever it is that you do. There are techniques, and that's part of my training. But, you know, you just said something important about how to be prepared. How do you always think about that kind of stuff? I mean, do you think about it a lot that way as well or just more in the way you just mentioned?
No, every day of my life. I mean, everything I'm doing is, I know I'm a little different than the average person, and I accept that, but it's just my lifestyle and what I've been exposed to in my past and part of my career. I've seen, you know, just investigations. I mean, I guess once you see the worst of the worst and you see that the evil that's in the society and what people are capable of, you know, I kind of have a tainted vision of things when I'm out in my surroundings. So it's constant. I mean, be at a red light and people are walking past me, you know, I'm thinking carjacking situations. Like, I'm thinking constantly, and I think no one's going to get hurt over that. You know, you're always going to benefit from trying to prepare yourself or how you would react, and it's going to hopefully eliminate, you know, the time it will take you to react if you have to. But no, I'm definitely with you. I'm the same way, you know, as is my husband. And then we talk about it, and I think that's another thing that I'd like to, you know, talk about too. You know, if you're going to live like that in a lifestyle, make sure that who you're living with is aware, because the last thing you want, you know, like you said, like if you're in the theater with your daughters, your family, your wife at dinner, like, I know you're talking to your family about what to do. So if something does happen, someone comes in an active shooter, someone comes in shooting, like, you know your family is going to do what you tell them to do. You don't want to have a verbal disagreement in front of everyone. You know, that's not the time to do it. And you want to make sure that everyone's aware of what we're going to do if something happens. In one of the videos we posted a while ago, we had, you know, I call it the firearms drill at home. So my kids know if the alarm goes off and they hear screaming or yelling, like, we have a plan of what my kids are going to do. And I think communication is huge, and talking to your family or people you live with, friends, anybody, could be your roommate, whatever your situation would be, is to make sure everyone's aware, you know, of what the plan would be if something were to happen. Because, you know, like you said, practice, when you practice it in your mind, your mindset, you know, you hopefully will give you some time, a little more preparedness, and if you ever are encountered in that type of situation.
Yeah, and that communication and practice should happen regardless if you have firearms in the house or not. I mean, that's just part of a proactive way to, you know, protect your family. And, you know, you said, like, oh, I might be a little more paranoid. No, I don't call it paranoid. I call it a realistic view, because that is a reality of what's going on. And here's why I say that. How many times do we see people on TV or talk to somebody that's had some kind of incident, whether it's little or not, always say, but I always thought it would never happen to me? I hear it all the time. So it's not paranoid. It's a realistic view on it. So I appreciate what you're talking about there. You know, can you talk about, because you just said something about you carried a small revolver then, and I know what you carry now, a 380. And can you just talk about, because one of the biggest things I hear a lot from people is, you know, there's always this conversation about what's the best gun to carry for concealed and all that kind of stuff. And it's really different. And I think it's different from a few aspects. One is, where do you live? You always have a coat on. Or, you know, you live in Florida like me and you always have shorts on. Or what's your build like? How big are you? You know, what's your location? And not only that, is there's a big difference in my mind on technology of rounds and ammunition nowadays versus 10 years ago. I mean, I truly believe, and it's my opinion, that the technology now that has evolved to the point where you can be as effective with a 380 or a 9mm than more so than what a 45 might have been or a 38 Special 10 years ago. So I think that technology has evolved that gives us more choices. And I don't think there's any one perfect gun, but that's a question that came in. You know, the question that came in from one of our members is, one of our female members is, what size firearm would you recommend to carry? So I wanted to throw that out there and just get your thoughts on it.
Right, and my answer would be, you know, it'd be what you're comfortable with and what fits you, and like you said, what your purpose is in your environment, you know, so you wouldn't go out and buy a full-size gun for a small, petite woman that plans on carrying inside the waistband. I mean, that's just not practical. It's going to be heavy. She's going to print. You're going to see it. So just making sure that you're comfortable with a gun and it fits you. So, you know, go to a gun store. Check them all out. I mean, there's no, like, one brand. I mean, carrying it doesn't matter what gun you carry. It's just, it has to be a gun that you're comfortable with and that fits you and then fits your purpose and your need for carrying. So try a few different ones. I encourage women to try them all out. Cause you know, like you said, we're all made different shapes and different sizes, and we have different reasons for carrying in different seasons. So if definitely you want to make sure that you have the right size gun, cause you want to be comfortable and it has to be practical. To carry. So, like I said before I had kids, I carried a revolver, different guns. I used to try to carry Tool 239, you know, SIG 239. So it all depends. And the caliber thing, I'm glad you mentioned that too, because, you know, when I teach, I remember people, oh, got to have a 45 or 57. And I'm like, okay, you know what I mean? Like, have you ever shot one of those with a little, you know, because, you know, you're shooting a 45 or 357 versus shooting like a little 22. And, you know, again, if you're not proficient, I'd rather hit with a 22 than this with a 45. So it doesn't really matter to me. I mean, I think whatever caliber you're comfortable carrying for your purpose. But if you can't shoot and you're not proficient and, you know, you're not hitting your target, it really doesn't matter how pimped out your gun is or what big or how big your caliber is. It doesn't matter because the fundamental, you know, if you're not having the basic fundamentals, then you're really carrying for the wrong reason there. Because you're not going to protect yourself or save your life if you can't hit what you're trying to hit or stop the threat. So I guess, you know, it would be whatever you're comfortable with, but make sure you kind of explore all of your options. It's just not like a don't pigeon yourself into one type of gun.
Yeah, and you said something that's really important that many people don't talk about because they focus too much on the physical part of the gun and not the psychology of what gun. You know, it's always about that ammunition, rounds, size, you know, what, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I've had the situation with people in my family where we let them first shoot. One of the first guns they shot was a 40 caliber. It was very snappy. It was a small gun, and they were scared of it, and they weren't confident, and they weren't comfortable. So that created a, you know, a negative psychology in their mind to say, oh, I don't think I want to carry because I don't feel confident is the key word to me. There's competence, which is some of the stuff you just said, which is important. I mean, you've got to be competent. I mean, what good's a 45 that never hits the target versus a 22 that hits a 3x5 card every single time? It's
exactly.
A big difference in the results. But then there is the competence, and then you have that confidence, which makes a huge difference. And I have, you know, friends that are around us that they just don't carry because they had the wrong experience when they first shot. And then once we got them into something, like you said, even, you know, a great carry gun is a SIG 238. I mean, just then they fired up like, wow, this is nice. And look at, I shot on target and this feels really good. Now there's a whole different psychology in that that now makes you even more competent or confidence to be able to carry. So we don't talk about that part of it much. And I've had the same experience myself. You know, once I picked up a certain gun, I was like, wow, this is it. I like this. And you could relate this to whatever it is, a water ski that you might like better, or a driver or a golf club that you hit better than something else. Now all of a sudden you have a different mindset that you feel more comfortable to carry. And I think that's a big difference for a lot of women that I talk about that just don't feel confidence at a certain point. That once they get to that place, now all of a sudden they're confident. And that's a psychology thing that we don't talk about much. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Great. So we're running out of time, but I want to close out with a great question here, and especially because that's what we're all about. E3, one of our taglines is empower. So educate, empower, entertain. So I just wanted to talk about, you know, in relation to firearms, what does empowerment mean to you?
To me, you know, I think we, as women specifically, and men, but I'll talk on the platform of women because, hey, I'm a woman. So I think it means something different to everyone. Me, my personal experience in my life, it to me, it means just building the confidence and the strength to be able to do something that I want to do. Specifically on this platform, I'm talking about firearms. My life changed about 24 years ago. I, at the young age of 17, was a victim of a violent crime of rape by the FBI's, UCR, Uniform Crime Reports. I'm defined as a victim, but I like to refer to myself as a survivor. It was still a long healing journey, and any survivor will tell you, the journey never really ends. But I have defined empowerment through firearms that really has helped me heal. Through my journey, I joined the military. My whole career path basically was because of what happened to me at a young age. At 17, somewhere between my junior and senior year, I was just elected student council president. I was on my drill team. I was just this bubbly, social, outgoing person. My goal was to be a psychologist, different career path, but after this happened to me, my life changed. Completely changed, and I still tried to carry on like I was just this social outgoing person, but inside I was like raging anger and fear and anxiety and everything you could. It was awful. It was just one of the most awful experiences because thing I had to worry about was which college I was going to go to and how I was going to pay for it. Well, now it went to I can't go for a run down the street without fearing I'd be attacked. And I didn't carry a gun. You can't carry a gun in high school or walking to school. I didn't have that option. But once I started carrying a firearm in the military and started carrying concealed, I felt, God, it was like this huge empowerment relief for me. And I was confident that I damned it will protect myself and my body and my kids, anything that comes and tries to hurt me ever again in my life. So it is definitely knowing I have that on me and building, like I said, building on my skills and constantly learning and practicing, it's definitely changed my outlook. And I definitely feel empowered and capable and confident and strong that I could protect myself if that ever happened to me ever again or to anyone tried to hurt my children. I know now, and I hate to say that I did once have that nothing's going to hurt me. Nothing's going to hurt me. I'm fine. I'm just going to walk home that night 24 years ago. I'm just going to walk home from my friend's house. I did. I had that mindset of, I'm 17 years old, I'm fine, I'm a big girl, But I'd never had firearms training, I'd never had self-defense class, I never had anything, and when that happened, I was in complete shock. I thought I was going to die that night. So my point, I went into survival mode, I didn't know, and I don't want to ever be in that position ever again, and if talking about my experience could save one person or, help another survivor empower themselves to get past the fear and anxiety of going for a run alone by yourself, in the area where you live, then we'll talk all day because it really is about empowering each other and women specifically on this issue of how you carrying a firearm concealed every day does empower me in my life and my lifestyle based on what has happened to me in my past. There's my long-winded answer of empowerment. And I could definitely talk a lot more about this and how I've grown from it and how I've healed from it. But definitely I encourage parents, husbands, talk to your children, talk to I don't think there's any too early age. Once your kid starts walking and being alone by themselves and you can't protect them, they're out of your sight, talk to them. Let them know the evils of this world and get them in the mindset of refusing to be a victim and how to protect themselves and things that they can do. Obviously, we're restricted when we're in high schools. Obviously, we see all horrible shootings in our country that are going on. You can only work with what you have, but I think starting to get yourself in the mindset of what I can do, and if I can talk to women and, hey, this happened to me. I thought I was invincible, too. I didn't think anyone was ever going to hurt me. Well, they did, and there's nothing I can do to change that, but I can take away from that experience and maybe help somebody else and help another survivor get through their healing journey. And carrying a firearm concealed is one way that I'm sure as hell going to be able to protect myself if that ever happens to me ever again.
Thank you for that. And I know you're going to help people, and you already are. And I also hope you're going to talk more about it because we're getting a lot of emails and feedback already from people that heard some of the segments you've already done and are like, hey, we want more from Christy. So I'm really looking forward to being able to do more of these. And I definitely appreciate your time today. I definitely appreciate that insight and things. And I know that people are going to love this. So, hey, and thanks everybody. So this is with Christy Payne Show, and we're grateful that you're here today, Christy, and we can't wait for everybody to hear this. And everybody, please, if you like Christy's interview, share it, send it to friends, send it to anybody that you think would really appreciate what Christy has to say, because she has a ton, a wealth of information. So thanks, Christy. Thanks, everybody. And we'll be talking to you all soon.
Thank you, Ryan.